introduce a new song this morning, church. In the song, it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the face of the waters. That same Holy Spirit will come and rest on us. Come on, let's sing this out together. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Come fill us up. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, lay heaven on it. Come rest on.
Thank you. church.
The fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, and pour your spirit out. Yeah. Fire's fire, strength in word.
Hearts that burn with only fear, purify.
Holy anointing, the power of your prayer.
one more shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hey, church, we're so glad that you're with us today. Turn to the person next to you, greet them, and then you can find your seat and turn your attention to the screen.
My name is Amy, and I serve on the children's ministry team. We're so excited to have you here with us. We have some awesome events coming up this June for you and your family you won't want to miss. We are excited to welcome Randy Clark for the Empowered Conference, June 11th and 12th. This will be a time of prophetic and healing ministry. For a full listing of service times, session topics, and registration, visit our website at htchurch.com. Vacation Bible School is back this summer. For more information and to register your kid or kids, sign up to be a volunteer, visit our website at htchurch.com. To find more ways to get connected to the life of our church, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. In our QR code, you can find links, send in prayer requests, and fill out a connection card if you're new here. We love you, church, and hope you have the best day ever.
I am a priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His, and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever. I am a treasure.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. How many of you know it's a good day to be in church together? We're glad you're here with us. Our Vacation Bible School is coming up. I want to tell you, we have just one of the funnest Vacation Bible Schools anywhere around. And you listen to that music for a week, and I promise you, it'll be with you all year. You'll be singing those songs all year, and they'll just make your heart happy. But sign up your kids for Vacation Bible School at the end of June. It's going to be a wonderful time together. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? It was great to have Pastor Desiree up on the platform leading us. We want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. So glad that you've joined us online and thankful that we're connected by God's Spirit, even across the miles this morning. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord entrusted to you. God says in His Word, bring the whole tithe into my house, so that there might be food in my house. We want to thank you for giving to the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world on a monthly basis. Harvest Time Church supports over 60 missionaries and missions organizations. And especially during this entire COVID year, we've had many, many requests from our partners around the world, especially our friends in India that has been hit so hard in the last couple months with the COVID pandemic. And so we've been doing everything we can to send some extra help and extra support to our friends as they've been requesting. So your giving to missions on a regular basis just helps us to keep the gospel going all around the world. Because of social distancing, we will not be passing offering plates to the sanctuary today. We have offering boxes at all the entrances and exits, and if you did bring an offering with you, you can drop it in one of those boxes as you leave the sanctuary today. If you're worshiping with us online or for anyone, you can make a gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Some people like to give by text, and the information for that is on the screen behind me. You can also find that information in your bulletin. How many of you know that Jesus said, no greater love has any man but that he lay down his life for his friends? That's what we're remembering this Memorial Day weekend, as we give thanks for men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for love of God, for love of their families, for love of our country. And we want to remember the families of fallen soldiers. We want to remember grieving parents, widows, children whose parents didn't come home from war or from active duty. We just want to pray for them. And really, we need to pray for America. I want to tell you that our country is at a crossroads. There is Marxist ideology. There is a Marxist agenda that is trying to take over our country and remove the freedoms that we have enjoyed in our country. First and foremost, for us, the freedom to worship Jesus and to spread the good news all around the world. And so I hope this, I hope this Memorial Day weekend you'll take a moment. And just before we read from Luke chapter 5 today, let's take a moment and let's just pray together. If you came with somebody, you're sitting next to them, just take their hand. And let's just take a moment and pray for our country. And let's pray for the families of fallen service people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your presence here. We feel you with us. Lord, thank you for America. Lord, thank you for your will, Lord, for our country. Lord, thank you that you've made us a shining city on a hill. Lord, thank you for the torch of freedom. And we thank you, Lord, especially for the freedom to worship Christ and to spread the good news all around the world. Lord, we pray in this season in our country, Lord, that you would protect the freedom of America, Lord, that you'd protect our country, Lord, from every agenda, Lord, to turn this into something different. Lord, we pray that the sacrifice of fallen soldiers, men and women, Lord, would not be in vain. But Father, we pray that you would use us, Lord, to keep the torch of freedom burning brightly. Lord, we pray for the bereaved family of fallen soldiers, Lord. We pray for grieving parents. We pray for grieving widows and widowers. Lord, we pray for children whose moms and dads didn't come home from service. Lord, we pray that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would be with them. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would just surround them, protect, provide for them, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just pray that in this hour, you would do the unexpected. I pray that you'd send revival to America, Lord. Father, let it come across our whole nation, Lord, a grassroots revival. Lord, millions of people turning their hearts to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would let it begin right here. If you agree with those things, would you just say amen and amen with me? Amen. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about gone fishing. Gone fishing, Luke chapter 5. While you find your way there, we have an annual report coming up on Wednesday evening, June the 9th. Once a year, our board of deacons and trustees and our pastors bring a report to the congregation of all of our activity from the previous year and all of our finances from the previous year. And so we'll do that Wednesday evening, June 9th, here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. And if you're a member of HTC, we'd love for you to be here. If you're part of our family, if you haven't officially joined the church, but you're part of our family and you'd like to be part of that meeting, you are most welcome. All right, look with me. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, beginning in verse 1. Let's talk about gone fishing. The Bible says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's just another name for the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Let's talk about gone fishing. This year, we're spending our Sunday mornings together looking at the matchless life of Jesus. And really, in uncertain times, there's nothing better we could be doing. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we find strength and perseverance to run our own race. Jesus' first year of ministry was spent in relative obscurity near his cousin John the Baptist in the vicinity of Jerusalem. When Herod Antipas arrested John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to go north to Galilee. Jesus' second year of ministry was one of wild popularity in Galilee. And his first order of business was to call a team of ministry partners, a team of disciples. Or maybe using Jesus' language in Luke 5, we could say he called some fishing buddies. Can I tell you that Jesus is still looking for fishing buddies today? He's looking for partners in his mission, rescuing people and saving their souls. To get caught in a fisherman's net means the end for the fish, but to be caught in Jesus' net means eternal life for people. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? What kind of people does Jesus invite? I have to confess, I am probably the worst fishing partner ever. Fishing requires patience, it requires skill, it requires coordination, it requires quiet, and I possess none of those qualities. My friend Brandon from our young adults group took me out fishing on his boat once, and he never invited me back onto his boat again. But looking at the call of Peter, Jesus has some different criteria for fishing buddies. So I want to talk about that with you for a few minutes. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? On your way in, you received an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can follow along, you can fill in the blanks, watch the screens. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? First of all, make room for him. Make room for him. I have a message for somebody who is listening this morning. Jesus wants to get into your boat. What did Peter's boat represent to him? Luke sums it up in verse 11 with the word everything. Peter's boat was his whole world. His whole life was wrapped up in his boat. It was his livelihood. It was his material assets. It's where he spent most of his time. How does that old saying go? Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll be gone for the whole weekend. Peter's boat is where his circle of friends hung out, his partners, his companions. His boat was his passion. His boat was his expertise. It was his identity. He was a fisherman. In the same way, somebody, please hear Jesus calling. He wants to step into your boat. He wants to step right into the center of your life. And he wants to plant himself there. Your friendships, your closest relationships, your livelihood, what you value, where and how you pass your time. Jesus wants to plant himself right in the middle of it all. Will you welcome him into your boat? Will you make room for him in your boat? As it turns out, Peter wasn't having such a great day fishing. Someone once said a bad day fishing is still better than a good day anywhere else. I'm not so sure Peter would have agreed that day. He was played out. So was his brother Andrew and his partners James and John. Lord, we have worked all night and we haven't caught anything. What a coincidence. Jesus went straight for the boat of the man who was having the worst day in Galilee. Can I tell you, in our worst moments, Jesus heads straight for our boat, longing to step in. Jesus wants to step into your fatigue and your frustration, the situations that have worn you down and have tired you out. Jesus wants to step into your failures. Lord, we've worked hard all night. We gave it our best shot. We plied all of our knowledge, all of our skill. We exerted all of our strength. We showed up at the right time. We did the right job and nothing. I think one of the most difficult things in life is when we have done our dead level best and it still wasn't good enough. Evidently, Peter had some other failures in his life as well. There was something more going on besides a bad night at work, because he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner." Something in his life wasn't right. Something was out of place. Something was out of order. Maybe you too know the pain of failure. Perhaps you've endured the pain of a failed marriage or a failed love relationship. Maybe you've had a parenting failure, a business failure. Maybe you failed at a personal goal that you set for yourself. Jesus never rejected people because of their failures. He didn't reject Peter because he was a sinner, and he won't reject us either. He's just looking for someone to say, "Welcome to my boat, Lord. Will you invite him in?" Jesus wants to step into your fears. You know, for a tough guy, Peter battled with a lot of fear. He was afraid of Jesus. He was afraid of miracles. He was afraid of a storm at sea. He was afraid of a little servant girl who questioned him in the high priest's courtyard. Jesus wants to step into the frenzied pace of your life. Picture this. All Peter and his friends want to do is get done with their work and get out of there. All they want to do is go eat and get some rest, washing nets, mending them, untangling them, rolling them up, folding them properly so they could be unfurled the next night. They just want to go home when a throng of people comes down the beach. Next thing, they look over and there's Jesus sitting in the boat. Jesus pulls Peter away from his busy schedule. And in the same way, Jesus wants to step into our boat and pull us away from the rat race. "Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Here's the most important question anyone could ever ask you. Is there room in your boat for Jesus? Gone fishing. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? Make room for him. Here's another thought. Be willing to be put out a little bit for Jesus' sake. Be willing to be put out a little bit for his sake. A couple of observations from this story. One observation, Jesus will probably come calling for you at a time in life that's not convenient for you. When a master calls for a servant, the servant doesn't answer only if it's convenient. Servants serve whenever the master needs them. Jesus got into the boat and he asked Peter to put out into the water a little bit. No, Lord, you don't understand. I'm working here. Lord, you don't understand. My dinner is that way and you're asking me to go that way. My bed is that way and you're asking me to go that way. Jesus didn't show up in Peter's life on the weekend. Good thing. Peter probably would have been down at the Joppa Beach with the family or skiing on Mount Hermon. Jesus showed up in the busiest, most inconvenient moment of Peter's life. Peter, can I have just a little bit of your time? Can I borrow your boat? I know it's your livelihood. I know it's your material assets. Can I borrow it for just a little bit? Don't worry, when Jesus borrows your boat, he returns it overflowing. Can I borrow your ability and your knowledge? See, I just happen to need someone with your expertise at this very moment. Listen to me. You are uniquely made by God to do something in his world that only you can do. Another observation. Once Jesus steps into your boat, he will take over. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat and he sat down. He assumed the authoritative stance of a Jewish teacher. And then he starts giving orders. Put out a little bit, Peter. Now put out into the deep. Now let down your nets for a catch. Captain Peter addresses Jesus as master. He relinquished the helm to Jesus. Listen, I would be doing you the greatest disservice of your life if I didn't tell you this up front. Jesus really wants to step into your boat, but before you say yes to him, please understand he can only ever occupy one seat in your boat, and that's the captain's chair. What Jesus can never be is a passenger in your boat. He's not someone who's just along for the ride while you're at the helm. He's not some good luck charm in your boat while you navigate your own course through life. He is not a member of your crew. You're a member of his crew. He's not even a backup pilot just in case you hit some bad weather. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He is the pilot. Either he is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Once Jesus stepped in, Peter was never in control of that crazy boat again. They went where Jesus said, when Jesus said. They did what Jesus said, how he said. You know, at Jesus' word, Peter even got out of a perfectly good boat in the middle of a storm and walked barefoot on the water. Jesus is a one-way street. Please understand, if you travel with him, you will be going his way. But I promise you, the destination is worth the detour. Jesus wants to get into your boat. Are you willing to be put out a little bit for his sake? Gone fishing. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? Make room for him. Be willing to be put out a little bit. Here's my favorite part right here. Another thought. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. When Jesus steps into your boat and takes over, your faith begins to grow. Couple of observations here. First of all, faith trusts his word over conventional wisdom. It's impossible to overstate the irony of an inland carpenter instructing a professional fisherman on how to fish. And Peter wasn't small potatoes either. He and his partners had a multi-vessel, multi-employee fishing concern. Peter knew his business. He had grown his business well. Jesus comes along and instructs Peter to cast his nets at the wrong time of day. Nighttime was prime time for fishing on the Sea of Galilee. The nets on board were made from linen. They were visible to the fish during the daytime, therefore useless. It was nighttime fishing equipment. Jesus instructed Peter to cast the nets in the wrong place. The best fishing was near the edge of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, where fresh oxygenated water poured into the lake. That's where the fish fed. Jesus guided Peter into deep water. God's timing and God's strategies seldom make sense to us, but he knows what he's doing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding.
Faith trusts God's word over weariness. Peter and his co-workers were tired from casting nets all night. Their backs were sore. Their shoulders were sore. Their arms were sore. Their legs were sore. Their abs were sore. Their hands didn't have any strength left in them. Faith trusts God's word over worries. Add to Peter's physical weariness the discouragement of coming home with no catch. There would be no pay that day. How would he feed his family? How would his men feed their families? I'm not really in the mood, Jesus. I don't have time for games here. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. I have a word for somebody listening. Somebody, please receive this from the Lord today. Trust the carpenter. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to guide you into success in every sphere of your life. I've been feeling for a little while that I need to share this story about how we acquired the HTC Parsonage property that's just down the street here on King Street. For our first 6 years that Denise and I were here in Greenwich, we lived in an attic apartment. Had somebody call our house one day in those early years, and my mom happened to be visiting from out of town, and she answered the phone. And when I saw that person in church on the following Sunday, he said, "Oh, Pastor Glenn, I called your house the other day, and your maid answered the phone. I'm assistant pastor of a church. Your maid, I live in an attic. I don't have a maid. I don't even have a driveway, for crying out loud." Bought our first little house, was 950 square feet. It was in such bad shape, it really should have been put out of its misery, but I was the only one foolish enough to buy it and renovate it. The master suite was a 12 by 12 bedroom, and the other bedroom was 10 by 10. So after our daughter Lauren was born, we had three cribs in a 10 by 10 bedroom. And the Parsonage property came up for sale down the street, and the board agreed that it would be a good idea for the church to acquire it, but we had absolutely no capital after finishing the first building. One Saturday morning, I was working in my office, and the carpenter spoke to me. He said, "Whatever you hear about the property, don't be moved." Literally an hour later, there was a frantic knock on my door. One of our members at the time was a realtor in town. And she knew that we were keen to buy that property. She said, "Pastor Glenn, a realtor friend of mine, just stopped by my house. He just came from showing that property down the street, and his clients are going to put in an offer." That realtor had no idea that the church was interested in the property. He had no idea that our member was even connected to us. He just stopped by to say hi. She said, we have to do something. We have to move right now. But I already had a word from the carpenter. And since we weren't in a position to do anything else but pray, I did nothing else but pray. A couple months after that, I was at a pastor's meeting in Chicago for the Willow Creek Network. And I happened to meet for the first time an older Assemblies of God pastor from Staten Island, Pastor Mercado. His nephew is part of our HTC family now. I think we were the only two Pentecostals in a room full of hundreds of evangelical pastors, and the Lord just kind of brought us together. Although we had never met before, Pastor Mercado knew our founding pastor, Pastor Tay, and his family. And somehow our conversation stumbled onto the Parsonage property, and I told him the board and I feel it's the right move to buy it, but we don't have any capital. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit just woof, fell on Pastor Mercado. He put both of his hands on my shoulders, and we're face to face. And he said, "When you get home, call the seller. Tell him the church must have the property." He said, "Whatever price he gives you, accept the price, and the Lord will provide the money." Ooh. Never had another experience quite like that one. When I got home from my trip, I called our treasurer. I told him what happened in Chicago, and the following Monday, we called the seller. The property was on the market for $1.2 million. And we told the seller the church must, this, by the way, I don't know anything about real estate negotiations, but I think this is not the way you're supposed to do real estate negotiations. We told him, we said, the church must have the property. And he said, you know, for the church, I'll sell it for $800,000 and I'll take paper. I'll hold the note. We hung up and our treasurer said, Pastor, if this is going to happen, we need $160,000 by Friday. And we had no $1,000. Only he and I knew about it. We're the only two that knew, and we agreed to just pray. On Thursday, a $160,000 check came in the mail. We closed on that property, and the seller held the note for very, very, very low interest until we paid it off in full. Trust the carpenter. I don't know anything about real estate, but the carpenter has guided us into acquiring three properties totaling over 19 acres in one of the most competitive real estate markets in the country. Trust the carpenter. I don't know anything about zoning laws. I don't know anything about construction, but the carpenter guided us into getting the zoning laws changed for the entire town of Greenwich, and we built 60,000 square feet of church on a lot that was only supposed to have 27,000 square feet on it. Trust the carpenter. I don't know anything about business, but the carpenter has guided us across 25 years to add $25 million of fixed assets to our balance sheet. Now, just to be clear, we don't have $25 million in the bank. We own $25 million worth of bricks, but still, he guided us into it. Trust the carpenter. This is the first church I've ever senior pastored, and the carpenter has guided us into somehow making it grow all these years, and we're coming out of COVID even stronger than we went into COVID. Listen, please, please, please understand, I am not bragging about myself. If it depended on me, I'd be sitting in an empty boat washing out an empty net. I am bragging on the carpenter. He knows what he's doing. And he's able to guide you into fruitfulness in every sphere of your life too. Jesus was never married, but he can guide you into a successful marriage. He never gave birth to biological children, but he can guide you into successful parenting. He lived on the earth in the first century, but he can guide you to successfully navigate life in the 21st century. And he can guide his church through the 21st century. He loves the church. He gave himself for the church. Jesus was a carpenter and an itinerant preacher. He never did your job, but he sure can guide you to fruitfulness and success in your job. Trust the carpenter. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? Make room for him. Be willing to be put out a little bit. Exercise your faith. Here's another thought. Gotta fly now. Follow him beyond your comfort zone. Follow him beyond your comfort zone. When Peter's linen net hit the water, God drove a whole shoal of fish right into his net in broad daylight with their eyes wide open. The net started breaking. They waved to James and John to come help them. They filled both boats with so many fish, the boat started sinking. Peter and his companions were freaked out. The Bible says they were astonished. I looked that word up in Greek. Do you know what it means? Freaked out. They were afraid. All at once, Peter realized Jesus is no ordinary teacher. He is no ordinary man. Listen to me. There is no other God worshipped by any other name around the world that compares to Jesus. There's no name like his name. There's no power like his power. There's no one that's equal to him. He has no rival. There's no one like him. Peter realized that Jesus was no ordinary man, and it scared him. Listen, if you're going to be Jesus' fishing partner, you better get used to doing strange things and seeing strange things and experiencing strange things. You better get used to sailing beyond your comfort zone into some uncharted water. There are times that God's presence draws near in such a way, it's so intense, it's so real, that it just causes fear in your heart. Gideon experienced that when suddenly he realized who it is he was talking to in the wine press. He said, "Oh, I'm going to die. I have seen God." Why do people fall down when we pray for them sometimes? I have a friend who explained it this way. It's because God is 220 and we're only wired for 110. So sometimes when he comes near, we just get a little bit overwhelmed. Gone fishing. How do we become fishing partners with Jesus? One final thought and we're done. Pastor Nick, you can come help me. Assume a new identity from now on. The call of Peter ends with one of my favorite promises in the Bible. Jesus doesn't say, we kind of have this wrong in our Sunday school songs and stories. Jesus doesn't say, from now on, is that you, Lord? I've heard the voice of the carpenter. It didn't sound like that. Jesus doesn't say, from now on, you will fish for men. How many of you know from experience that the act of fishing does not guarantee a catch, especially if you're fishing with me? But Jesus says to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people. That word catch means to catch them alive. It means to rescue. It means to save them. Jesus makes a promise, partner with me and you will be successful in sharing the gospel. You will connect with people. You will make an impact on them. You will persuade them. You will lead them to a place of faith in Christ. Peter wasn't transformed from a fisherman to a fisher of men. He was transformed from a fisherman to a catcher of men. The massive size of the net breaking, boat sinking catch was a sign of the future success that Peter and the apostles would have reaching people with the gospel. Jesus wants to step into your boat. And if you say yes to him, that same call will fall on you with the same promise of success. Whatever else is true about you, from now on, you're a catcher of people. You might be a husband and a dad, but from now on, you're a catcher of people. You might be a wife and a mom, but from now on, you're a catcher of people. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, your career is what you do. But from now on, what you are is a catcher of people. And there's one last thing I need to say for somebody listening today. Someone, please listen, listen. Here's a word of encouragement from heaven for you. God is your source of provision. Your career is just his delivery mechanism today. And if something changes, he will command provision over your life. Whether by ravens or whether by widows or whether by angels, God will provide for you. How do I know? The great catch of fish tells us so. Gone fishing. A few thoughts about Jesus' fishing partners. Make room for him. Be willing to be put out a little bit by him, for him. Exercise your faith. Be willing to follow him beyond your comfort zone and assume a new identity. Stand on your feet. Give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today. Oh, come on. Give him a good praise. Don't give him a wimpy little praise. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor Nick's on the keys. Let's... let's sing an old Sunday school song. If you remember it, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you remember it, sing it with us.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turn. Come on, that sounds good. Just sing it again. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back. Bow your heads with me. Can't help feeling like maybe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to somebody who has a broken heart today. You made a decision to follow Jesus. It was the right decision. Stay with it. If somebody doesn't go with you, stay with it. Stay with it. Trust the carpenter. The way that we respond to the message of Jesus is by praying a prayer of believing on Him. Jesus wants to step into your boat. Felt so strongly as we started this morning that today might be your day to invite Him into your boat. If you've never prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray one with us right now. Perhaps there's someone here and you prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and you need to pray it again for the first time in a long time. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else but to just follow me in a prayer right where you are, standing in your seat. While heads are bowed, I just wonder, Jesus wants to know, can He step into your boat? If you'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus with me for the first time or for the first time in a long time, would you just lift your hand real high where I can see it, right where you're standing? Come on, there's one, there's two, there's another one, someone else. You'd like to join us in a prayer of believing today, right where you are in your seat. We're going to pray, there's another, someone else. You'd like to join us in a prayer of believing on Jesus today. He wants to step into your boat. Someone else? Come on, give control of your boat to Him. I can promise you He'll do a better job navigating it than you can do on your own. Someone else? There's another. Someone else? You'd like to pray a prayer believing on Jesus with us? Just lift your hand real high. Thank you, Father. I'm going to invite everybody, if you're willing, would you lift your hands all over this place with us? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing on Jesus. And if you're willing, I'd like to invite you to follow in a nice, clear voice. And let's invite Jesus into our boat today. Let's pray. I'll lead, you follow. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, welcome into my boat. Take over. Change me. Forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me a new person. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I make you my captain and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you give the Lord a good praise in this place? Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we have a prayer room that is across the foyer in that direction. Would you take a couple steps across the foyer, and Pastor Ruth and some of our other prayer folks are going to be there. We'd love to just celebrate with you, pray a prayer of blessing over you. We have some things we want to give you. If you have some other needs in your life and you'd like prayer, the prayer teams are going to be across the foyer in the prayer room, and they'd be happy to pray with you. All right, now, big finish. Yesterday, we laid to rest one of our precious sisters, Rita Mandris. She was 96. Rita was part of our church family for 38 years. And she requested at her funeral that we sing a song. We haven't done it in a while. It's called Great Is He Who's the King of Kings. And it's sung in three parts. There's an alto part, there's a soprano part, and then there's a tenor part for all the men. And so Miss Rita is leaning over heaven's balcony. And if you knew Rita, if you don't do it right, she's going to shake her cane at you, okay? So we have to do it right. We're going to just lift up Jesus. Pastor Nick is going to teach us this song, and we're going to make a choir this morning. And after we've sung, then you can be dismissed. Great is He who's the King of Kings. Let's sing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you all, the choir, the first part that we sing is the altos. If you don't know what that is, those are the ladies that have a little bit lower voice, and altos, your part goes like this.
Great is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful. Great is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful.
That's great. You got it already. The next part is the sopranos. Those are ladies with the higher voice. And when we call for you to come in, sopranos, you're going to come in like this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then we save the men for last. I don't know why, but guys, your part is like this.
Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power, He is wonderful. Hallelujah, salvation and glory.
That's all there is to it. Let's fire it up. Come on, I want you to lift your voice, lift your hands, and let's glorify the Lord. Okay, altos, here we go.
Great is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful.
Sounds great. Come on.
Great is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is one.
Sopranos, join with your hallelujah.
Great is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful.
Great
is He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is one.
All the guys now, hallelujah, man.
Great
is
He who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful. Great
is
He who's the King of Kings.
Great is He, yeah, great.
Hallelujah.
Who's salvation
and
kings and the Lord of Lords. He is one.
salvation and glory.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, give him a shout.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day and a great week in Jesus.